I hear from Kathy that the people at Pilot Knob Lutheran Church are friendly. I'm going to need that friendliness this morning. Assalamu alaikum. Did anyone understand that? I've just greeted you with one of the most commonly understood phrases in the entire world. It's a Muslim greeting, shared by the 1 billion adherents to Islam, and I just used it in Pilot Knob Lutheran Church. In the pulpit, what do you think? Are the walls going to fall down on us? You know that Jesus says this in the Bible? He says it in John 20:19. He says it in John 20:21. And he says it in John 20:26. Except Jesus says the Hebrew version, not the Arabic. He says, Shalom Aleichem. Now, for those of you who don't speak Arabic or Hebrew, I'll really blow you away. Lutherans worldwide often use this same greeting on Sunday morning. It's called the passing of the peace. I say, peace be with you, and you say, I notice we don't do that here in this church. And also with you. Now let's try it in Arabic. I say, assalamu alaikum, and you say, alaikum salam. Okay, I'm going to repeat your part one more time. Listen carefully. Alaikum salam. Okay, assalamu alaikum. Wow, you guys are friendly. Now maybe some of you are feeling a bit uncomfortable right now. In Tagalog, the Filipino language, they would say, sino ka ba? Or in English, just who do you think you are? You come into our church and greet us with a Muslim greeting? Okay, well, I'll tell you who I think I am. My name is Luke. This is my wife, Ruth. And we, along with our children, are World Mission Prayer League missionaries to a Muslim people group of the southern Philippines. I'll take this chance to introduce my kids as well. This is Yahia, which means John the Baptist. This is Alasa, which means love. This is Daoud, which means David. He's a man after God's own heart. This is my daughter, Hadassah, the banana eater. And our youngest, Gideon. The Muslim people group that we serve in the southern Philippines are actually Ruth's people. And they're 98% Muslim. Ruth being one of the 2%. And the good majority of them are happily Muslim. So if I come to your church and try to force you to pass the peace in Arabic, what does that make me? It makes me a disturber of the peace. So why do I have the right to disturb the peace here at Pilot Knob? Well, I guess the good people of Pilot Knob Lutheran Church must like me, because you've shown how much you like us to the tune of $9,946 over the last 5 years. We're sincerely thankful, and I don't want to go farther than this without expressing that to you, that thank you so much for supporting our work in the Philippines as missionaries. And now this is the thanks that you get, this sermon. Who knew that Lutherans and Muslims had so much in common? In church and in the mosque, a person passes the peace. There are quite a few things that we have in common with Muslims. Their prophets and our prophets are the same. They speak of Abraham, Lot, Isaac, Ishmael, Joseph, Moses, David, Solomon, Elijah, John the Baptist, even Enoch. These are characters that we all grew up learning about in Sunday school. Okay, their stories aren't exactly the same when you hear them from the Muslims. Early on during my time as a missionary in the Philippines, I asked a Muslim man, okay, let's leave out Muhammad and let's leave out Jesus. Who do you pick as your favorite prophet? Who would you pick? He said, Joseph. I said, why? Well, it turns out that in the Muslim story of Joseph, he's so good looking that people lose their composure in his presence. Potiphar's wife is getting mocked for this by her lady's friends as they cut vegetables. She's already made her advances on Joseph, and they are saying, how could you fall for a slave man? And she tells the other ladies, just wait and see. If only you yourself saw this slave, Joseph, I will call him. When Joseph comes in, the ladies are so stunned by his appearance that they cut off their fingers. I bet you didn't see that story in the Bible. It's in the Quran. It's possible, if this is the story that I knew about Joseph, that I might choose him as my favorite prophet as well. I want to be like Joseph, Mom. Handsome. But it's unfortunate. If Muslims could make the connection that the betrayal of Joseph by his brothers was not just used by God to save the world around him at that time, but it pointed towards what was to come. It pointed to Jesus being betrayed by his brothers, the Jews, and him being crucified, and in being crucified, saving the whole world. If Muslims could understand that there's a connection there, that would fulfill a big prayer of mine. Jesus, on the road to Emmaus, after raising from the dead, explained to his two disciples about how Moses and all the prophets speak of Jesus. Sure enough, if we look for Jesus in the stories of Abraham, Isaac, Lot, Moses, David, we find that indeed they do point to Jesus Christ. And this is why, as a couple, we're particularly excited about our work with Bible translation. Ruth is a mother tongue translator. She drafts books of the Bible, translating them from the English language to her language. Then she, with the helps of computers, commentators, co-workers and consultants, make sure that the translation is true to the Hebrew and communicates appropriately in the Sinama language. Having the Old Testament in its entirety will allow the Muslims to see the broader picture. The Old Testament and New Testament center around Jesus Christ. My major role in our translation team is something called Scripture Engagement. I'm a Scripture Engagement Specialist. Okay, what does this mean? Well, my job is to think about how can we get people to actually use Scripture and be blessed by it. If we're not using Scripture, not only in this church but in our homes, we're missing out on the blessings that it would have in our lives. So having the complete stories of the prophets from Genesis, Exodus, the Samuels, Kings, Chronicles, and other books is one of the eight factors that we need to address in order to get people effectively engaging with the Scripture. This factor is called background knowledge. Your background knowledge probably came from Sunday school, confirmation class, and if you're in the right church, it certainly came from the Bible. The nice thing with Muslims is that some of the background knowledge they already have can spark their interest in Scripture, and once the Scripture is being used, God has proven time and time again that His Holy Spirit can work with it and work faith in the lives of even Muslims. Two more factors of Scripture engagement are availability and accessible format. In working with Bible translation, we as a couple are convinced that we can have an impact on the Sama people group as a whole, both the Christians, who now number somewhere around 2,000 people, and among the Muslims, who number somewhere around 400,000. And I like to look at our work as having a macro impact, as an impact on the entire group, and that also has a micro impact. And so we want to connect with the Sama near to us. We want to have actual relationships in Sama communities. There's two communities that we have special focus on, and probably a total of six communities that we are regularly visiting. And we want to be involved in their communities so that there is a presence for Jesus Christ in that community, that they have a connection to the Bible translation and kind of know what's going on. And that's availability. That's why the last time that we saw you here at Pilot Knob, we went back to the Philippines and we moved locations. We had come to a realization that in the town of General Santos, in the town of General Santos, there were 10,000 Sama found in about six different communities. and that there were zero churches and zero believers. And besides that, one of the communities had quite a few relatives of Ruth's. In other words, to these 10,000 Sama, there was little or no availability of Scripture to them because they were not even engaged with Christians. We had inroads to that community because of their blood relationship with Ruth. They already knew that Ruth's family had become Christians and lived as Christians on their home island where they originate from, Siasi Sulu. And so we moved next to them and said, this is where we're going to focus. Our heart's desire is that the members of this community would believe in and follow Jesus. Faith indeed comes by hearing the message. Worldwide, this is truer than you know. Most people learn better by listening and not by reading. In the book of Revelation, it says, blessed is the one who hears these words. And if you examine, why are people hearing these words, not reading these words? We've got so accustomed to reading the word. But a lot of the world needs to hear the word. Even we need to hear the word. Most people learn better by listening and not by reading. This is definitely true for the Sama, who in general have low levels of education. There are a lot more fishermen than there are college graduates. That is generally true, but in the community that we've engaged with these last 4 years, there's quite a few highly educated Sama. They have been able to help us start recording Scripture. Over these last 2 years, we've even dubbed a movie that takes the verses of Genesis and shows them in a movie format. It ended up being a six-hour-long movie format. And I can sit down with communities of Muslims, 300 people in the audience, and I can convince 300 people to watch 3 hours of the book of Genesis in one sitting, which is pretty fun. In the film showings, we're laying down a background knowledge of the true scriptures, making the scriptures available to Sama Muslims in an accessible format, a movie. Unfortunately, I cannot come here today and boast of great victories of conversions or of a church being planted. This is our prayer that it would happen in the future. We do believe that this groundwork is the groundwork for future conversion and for a future church. My Muslim friend, after watching the Genesis film, and he was one of the voice talents in it, he said, I want to be involved again if you do another recording project. I said, that's okay, but next movie is going to be about Jesus and his disciples. My friend said, I'm in. I'm praying for the day that he'll truly be in. So how about our scripture reading today? Where can we find mission in it? Like many others of the stories of the prophets, Adam's story, as remembered by the Sama, has quite the twist. A Sama man told me the story he had heard from his grandfather. Adam was given a choice between three different fruit, and he just happened to pick the wrong one. He picked the one that caused him to be ashamed of being naked. If he hadn't picked that fruit, to that day it was claimed we would go around like all the other animals, not wearing clothes. Now there are some problems with this version of the story. And one thing is it focuses more on man being separate from beast and not man being separate from God. We miss out on Adam committing willful disobedience and instead hear that he made a mistake by picking the wrong fruit. It might be possible to understand why if we understand the Sama worldview about Adam. Most likely you'd be surprised to know that there's a people in the world that worship Adam. These are the Sama. Adam is held by the Sama in the highest esteem. They recognize him as the grandfather of all the living. And the Sama are folk Muslims. In their version of Islam, there are still elements of ancestor worship. Therefore, they sacrifice to Adam when they go out to sea to catch fish, or when they're trying to divert some calamity or appease the wrath of God. Being the first created man, traditional Sama uphold Adam as more important than any other man of God. Now let's compare this esteem for Adam that the Sama have with the actual text of Scripture. Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It'll produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. For us Christians, well, we have to claim Adam. He is our ancestor, but he's one of our ancestors that we're not proud of what he did, and we're not proud of what we did since then because of what he did. What do we have in common with the Sama and with the Muslims? Both we and they recognize Adam as the father of all the living. We are connected to them as part of one family. What do the Sama need to know from Scripture? Something that hopefully we have down pat. In 1 Corinthians 15 we hear, "For as by one man came death," this of course means Adam, "by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." So we hold in highest esteem Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God Himself. In Adam, we find the first bits of the law: disobey God and receive death. The world is destroyed, a perfect world tainted by sin. But what is especially missing from the Sama story of Adam is the first promise of the gospel. Did you know that this story has the promise of the gospel in it? It comes in God's word to the serpent: "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers." An offspring here is actually the Hebrew word seed. And if you read the readings of Paul in the New Testament, when the book of Genesis uses the word seed, it's talking about Jesus himself. It's not talking about multiple seeds. It's talking about one seed, Jesus Christ. It says, "He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." Even long prior to Jesus' advent on this earth, he's talked about in this verse, his act of dying on the cross, the equivalent of the serpent striking at Eve's offspring's heel, and then Jesus, the seed from Eve, her offspring, crushing Satan, resurrecting from the dead, and bringing hope that we too will be resurrected from death because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. O death, where is thy sting? I'll tell you where death's sting is for me. We wish peace upon each other here in church, but do we wish peace upon the Muslims of the world? As a missionary, sharing the peace isn't so easy as shaking someone's hand on Sunday, because peace comes through belief in Christ's death on the cross. Islam is a religious system that teaches its adherents to reject the cross of Christ. It never happened. On our first four-year missionary term as a couple, we had several Sama friends die, and I could rest content knowing that those who died, died in a faith in Christ. Not so this last term. Ruth's uncle and closest relative and community died suddenly while we were away. Yes, we had been sharing with him scripture, stories, our perspective on Christ, but it hadn't taken root. The landlord for our ministry center we attempted in the community also became sick during our time in the field. We shared with him while he was sick, and he gave us the typical Muslim response: "There's no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet." It's basically the standard "I was born a Muslim and I will die a Muslim" response. Death still stings, because Jesus' desire that no man should die has not yet been completely accomplished. We're the ones that fight for that goal on earth. We, the Church of Christ, fights for that goal on earth. And I have more to thank those of you at Pilot Knob Lutheran Church than just your financial support over the years. We see it in your bulletin today. Many of you have received our prayer letters. Your church prays for us, and hopefully we can convince you to pray for the Sama. Can I ask you to pray for the Sama? Oh, I can ask. Pray that the Sama would be given relief from the curse of Adam. Pray that faith would form in the hearts of our close contacts and that a church would form. After church, we're going to do a question and answer time with you. During that time, we'll have a sign-up sheet for our prayer letters. If you don't get them and you're interested, please put your name and email address on the sign-up sheet. We'll also have prayer cards to give out to people who would like to stick one maybe in your Bible or near the toilet or someplace where it would remind you to pray for us. I hope that this has been a good dose of law. I hope that this has been a good dose of gospel. And I hope that it's been a good dose of mission. Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum salam. God bless.
Interesting when you said that the Muslim recognized Adam and how many people as a real person, and how many churches or denominations in America don't recognize Adam as a person, as a metaphor, and yet they're the ones that are lost and we aren't. Interesting. Thank you so much. That was very enlightening.